Ramsey TV.
Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender, Channel 5 News from Richmond, Virginia, here to report to you the latest happenings in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm here to report that nothing has happened in Richmond, Virginia, since I've talked with you last. I am still in Richmond, Virginia, because I am making another show on Monday while I'm still here, because I'm going to get home late tonight, and who knows if I'll have the energy to make a show. So I'm taking advantage of the wonderful sunshine here and the good feelings in Richmond, and also to let you know that I have two special guests in the studio. You may call this my hotel room, but it's not. It's MZTV studio, a makeshift studio. I have here with me, sitting next to me, wait for the slow pan here, Chris and Maddie Miller of Kalamazoo, Michigan. And there they are, and we're the stragglers. We're the last ones left from the conference. Everybody else has left, but we can't stand the idea of leaving.
No.
Right? So we're still here, and I was eating breakfast with these folks. I was so happy I wasn't going to be here alone this morning. I thought I was going to be the last man standing. But no, these fine folks are still here, and I want them to tell you their story. I didn't have to beg them too much. I said, you know what? I got a great idea. I came up with this at breakfast. I said, before I leave, before we check out of here at 11, let's do a show. Let's talk to the saints, talk to the body of Christ. And you were all for it.
All for it.
You're all for it. So you're from Kalamazoo, Michigan. But what's going to be happening here soon within the next month or two?
We are going to move, be Floridians.
They're going to be Floridians. They're actually coming to South Florida. Can you confirm this rumor, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been getting things sorted out up north for, you know, a long time. Now it's time to go. So we're excited.
Is the main reason you're going, like, for the fellowship, for those down in Florida? Or is it, you don't have to, if it's not true, you can say you're going down for the beach or for the warm weather. What's the situation?
No, we're going there specifically for fellowship. We want to live in a closer proximity to Martin and kind of close ranks in the body of Christ, get to know Phil Meal and some other people that we've met there. So, yeah, it's fellowship.
That's fantastic. You can see that the situation here in the studio is a little awkward because I forgot my tripod, and so it's a handheld camera. So this is like a newscast here. I do feel like Channel 5, man on the street. So tell me how you ended up at this conference from your beginnings. I'm assuming you began in the Christian religion somehow, as most of the people we're talking to did.
Right.
Is this the fact?
Yes.
What religion were you raised in? Were you both raised in the same religion? And if not, which religion were you raised in? How did you two get together? And how did you come to find the truth and end up at a conference where people are talking about the sovereignty of God, the salvation of all, and the two gospels?
That is all mixed up.
Yeah, I didn't ask much, did I? Just in 20 words or less.
In 20 words or less. Well, that would be difficult because, well, I was introduced to the Christian religion when I was 10 years old. My best friends came running across the field between our houses and talking about this man named Jesus, you know, how he died on the cross. And all I could get was that their faces were glowing. You know, and I'm going, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Or what are you smoking?
10 years old.
Oh, you were 10 years old. Well, I'll stay with that. No, so they had a glow about them, and they were talking about Jesus. What did you think when you heard that?
I didn't quite get all that. All that stood out to me was the glow. Well, when I went to bed that night, I'm thinking about this Jesus, and that he's my friend. Okay, so that night I'm in the bathtub, and I'm going, I'm naked and everything, and you made me, so you know all about me. And from that point, you know, he's my friend, okay? Well, jump to, like, 15. I'm 15 years old. I go to Florida on vacation, and my uncle is a pastor. So he's giving the spiel on becoing, accepting Jesus, you know, and I was kind of scared at this, and I went in the bathroom, and I was praying. I said, Lord, if you really want me, then don't let me get out of this.
Now, before you go on, I have to make an observation. I think some of the greatest revelations for you occurred in the bathroom. Is it safe to say? you're in great company, because the same with Martin Luther.
Yeah.
Martin Luther got the truth of justification by faith by being on the commode, but you were in the bathtub and later in the shower, apparently. So this is where God spoke to you. So you wanted to be someone in the Christian religion. I mean, you felt a call to teach or to be an influencer in a way. Yes.
Yes, I would sit on top of the piano and the kids. I would teach the kids about Jesus but not about hell. I don't think I ever really got into that, but
that was the teaching in the church, though, where you were. Did they tell you, you need to tell people, come on, you need to start telling people about hell. We need to scare them into the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but you were a rebel from the start.
Well, what I didn't know was that God was going to plant this man in my life that would take me out of the church.
Oh, he's the culprit. Okay, now we're getting juicy. Now we're getting juicy.
That was my first husband. My second husband was.
Oh, that was your. That wasn't him. Uh-oh. Okay, we're going to break to a commercial here, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with the interview with Chris and Maddie Miller after these messages. Okay. I'm sorry about that. So this other guy.
Yeah, he was abusive, but he did get me out of the church. And see, all things work together for good. But what did I do after 7 years?
No.
I got back into the church.
Well, your first husband was abusive. I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible. Wow. But he got you out of the church. There's a silver lining in everything.
Yes.
All right. So then you met this guy, right, who's a house painter by night, but he's a man of God, 24/7.
We met at a house church through the Vineyard, a house group meeting.
Yes.
Ended up into a longer courtship. Of I don't know, I guess it was about 3 years we were courting. We finally got married, and long story short, we got booted out of the Vineyard.
Congratulations.
Because of some of the issues I brought up with the pastor there, which was very emotional because we had a lot of friends there. But God took us out of that. We didn't know where we were going, but
just like Abraham,
right? And then I found Martin Zender's book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, in the Kalamazoo Public Library. Great library, National Library of the Year 1 year, and they carried this guy's book, so they must have a lot going on there. So that started leading me on more of a journey to understand, well, all the things that Martin teaches, the two gospels, the salvation of all the wonderful things that he shared with us.
Did you find that book before you met Maddie, or after you met Maddie?
During.
Yeah.
During the time when you met Maddie. So this is a journey you've been on together.
And it's had some crazy, crazy turns. We ended up getting divorced. Our marriage fell apart. I think a lot through the pressure of trying to perform in a marriage. It wasn't that we didn't love each other, but we didn't know how to live out a grace, you know, relationship with each other. We were pretty performance oriented, and it destroyed our marriage.
Wow. Let me ask you this: did that performance orientation have something to do with the fact that the religions you were in was performance oriented also? I mean, you had to perform for Christ, so maybe it carried over, and you have to perform. You have to be the perfect spouse for your husband or for your wife.
Very much so.
Yeah, the religious setting. I was a pretty perfectionistic and driven person to begin with, so that religious setting just kind of turned up the volume and intensified all that. And like I said, it boomeranged, it destroyed our marriage. But happy ending, we've been reconciled here in the last, well, it's over a year. And we picked up, we're better off than we ever were before because of the things we suffered, you know. I didn't understand the sovereignty of God. I just looked at myself as being a jerk and not being able to keep this relationship together. But actually, through it all, we suffered, but God has healed us, and now we have a really good, solid relationship.
That's a beautiful testimony. And I think what's holding it together, the glue that's holding it together, is that this, you share a common faith.
Exactly.
You have something exactly. that you have something in common that anytime there's problems in the relationship, you can resort to the fact that, well, God is sovereign. Does that work all the time, thinking, knowing that God is sovereign? I mean, there's still challenges in any relationship. I'm glad you two are together. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But is the fact that your faith is common. I mean, I would like to hear how you both settled into the these truths. Apparently, when you found that book, did you introduce these things to Maddie, and did she take to them readily, or was there any kind of friction in the beginning with a clash between the truth and religion?
No. Maddie was always open to the truth. It just takes a period of time to take it in and have it, you know, bring realization in your life. But she's always been an open learner, you know, with the scriptures. She's wonderful in the scriptures. You know, she helps me so much in understanding scriptures. So this is a wonderful thing we have, you know, with each other to have this walk together. Yes, and we are in agreement. We are in agreement with each other about most things.
I had all these puzzle pieces floating around and questions about, like, well, if I'd grown up in India, wouldn't I be more prone to being a Hindu or a Buddhist or whatever it is? And I go, what makes me think that Christianity is the true religion? And I'm going, what if none of them have it correct?
There you go.
You know? And I said, I'm not questioning you, God, or your existence, but I'm just wondering why, when I'm listening to these sermons, that I don't get anything out of them, and I never feel like I belong.
Yeah.
You know? But in comes my husband, my wonderful husband, and we were separated at the time. And he gave me this book by Martin Zender called The First Idiot in Heaven. And, man, I started reading that book, and I could not put it down. It was like, shoo. It clarified and clarified everything, the two Gospels. And I'm like, I could not put it down. And I started watching all his videos and looking up words. I just was hungry for that truth. I'm going, this is it. This is it.
That is so rare, honestly, to be in agreement with your spouse. I mean, I really envy that. I really do. What was the hardest truth you came to, Maddie, of all the things you believe now as far as the sovereignty of God goes, the two evangels, the salvation of all, the truth about death? What was the most difficult hurdle you had to jump over?
I would say the sovereignty of God. I mean, I read about that, and I said that I believe that, but it took a breaking to say.
Are you willing to talk about that breaking, what it took to realize that God is in control of everything, including the evil?
Well, I won't go into detail, but I will say that the very reason I had left him was the very thing that occurred again. And I had prayed and asked God, you know, because you let your request be made known unto God.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, this is really important to me. And it didn't happen. And I'm going, God must not have wanted it to happen.
Right.
Because if he had, he could certainly work through my husband, you know. And it really, really hurt. It broke me. And I couldn't understand. But you do realize that he's working all together for good. And it's according to his plan.
Chris, did you realize the same thing as you were going through the struggle with your marriage? Did you immediately acknowledge the sovereignty of God in this, or was that a struggle for you to come to the realization that, oh my gosh, God actually breaks up people when he feels like it?
I had no understanding of that. I just looked at it as that I was misperforming in my marriage, and that's why it came to this point. Now, you know, you make decisions or you have habits or issues that get, you know, is troublesome for your spouse, but I just looked at it as all as my decisions. And so as long as I could improve my performance and my behavior, things could come back together. But it's much trickier than that. And obviously with God involved with all circumstances, to try and understand it from his perspective as a human, it was overwhelming. I didn't believe in the sovereignty of God. I thought he gave us all these decisions we had to make, and if you made the right decision, things went well. If you made the wrong decision, things, you know, went poorly. But it's much more than that now. Can see the sovereignty, understand and believe the sovereignty of God.
It's kind of an absolute and the relative thing, isn't it? Because there is a place for the relative viewpoint, where you say to yourself, boy, I have to up the game, I have to improve my performance. But then when you realize that you can only do that by the power of God, and then that makes all the difference. And that actually enables you to make those changes, because you're going from using flesh as an energizing force to spirit as the energizing force. And then that changes everything. And apparently you two came to that realization about the same time.
I think so.
Yeah.
Or am I importing that thought in there?
Well, I'd say very closely. I mean, we weren't totally in sync, but I mean, we were moving in the right direction. For one thing, we were getting our teaching all from the same source. We're listening to your show, Do Benevolence. We read, you know, by Clyde Pilkington, which is a huge, huge book. So we're getting teaching from the same source, and we're together on it. So that's huge.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said what you said, that it's never going to be perfect. You're never going to find that sweet spot. And I know there are a lot of married couples struggling right now that don't have the blessing of having a common teaching. They don't have Christ as their common head. But nevertheless, there's nothing that happens in this life without a struggle. Sometimes you just have to settle for, this is as good as it gets. As good as it gets, right? And then you look forward to being made immortal, when everything then will work perfectly. But in the meantime, it's a walk of faith. Now, you two are really jumping off the cliff. You're moving from Michigan, where you've lived for years, and now you're coming down to South Florida. It's a mutual adventure. Why are you laughing about it? You're a little scared about it a little bit there?
No. It's funny, because we don't know where we're going to live, how we're going to get there.
Right.
Well, that's an Abraham thing. God called out Abraham, and he didn't know where he was going for sure.
Nope.
Just don't do like Manfred Jones did and stop in Jacksonville. Manfred said, bypass Jacksonville, right, Manfred? Manfred said, I'm going to Florida, and he just crossed the state line. He said, well, here's Florida.
Here I
said, no, you didn't go far enough. So are you coming all the way down?
Yes,
yep.
Most definitely.
I've been to Fort Lauderdale before. I was there while I was in the Navy. It's a great place, probably even better now than it was when I was there. And we're really excited.
Well, I hope this inspires other people to come to Fort Lauderdale. We're going to have a little knot of believers down there. Is that a right word to call a knot of believers? That doesn't sound too complimentary, but I'm looking forward to having you two down here. What I want to know is the ongoing realization of God that obviously you two are experiencing. This is an obvious question. I feel stupid asking it, but just give me the importance of that bond of spirit in any kind of relationship.
It's absolutely vital. I mean, I did not have good flesh or very well patterned, you know, flesh behaviorally, and I could do a lot of destructive things to a relationship in the flesh. The spirit enables me to love my wife, serve my wife the way I need to, and vice versa with her. Yeah, we got rubs, we got issues, but we realize we're new creations in Christ, and that's what we need to focus on, not
and
on the past.
Remind each other.
Right. Remind each other of that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Of the truth.
It's so easy to get off that plumb line, you know.
Yeah, being a new creation, you start to try to work things out in the flesh sometimes, and you try to, as Paul says in Romans 8, overween above what your disposition exactly. must exactly. be.
That's probably, that is one of your greatest hits with me, because I was a professional overweener, you know, and
trying too hard always.
Yeah, I thought that was the approach to life. I was a very gung-ho person, and I've been able to be regulated, you know, more through that. You know, I'm not trying to blast through walls and things like for God anymore.
Yeah,
like
that's kind of hard on the head. Blasting through walls. Yeah, so you've settled down a little bit in that department, and you're letting life come to you. But you know, in the relative, you still realize that hey, we have to do what we have to do. But this time, it's God operating in you to will and to work for the sake of His delight, and He's operating all these things. That's a comforting truth: the sovereignty of God.
There was one other thing though that came to mind when you're talking about relationships. Paul talks about not regarding any man after the flesh anymore.
Yes.
Now, see, it's so easy, especially when you have history with a person. Oh, I remember when they did that back in the day. And you start regarding them after the flesh or yourself, your own performance. We have to do that with each other, not regard one another after the flesh.
Yep.
It's got to start here before you can start really having that attitude towards others, you know, further out of your life sphere, right?
So, wow, that's gold. I mean, that's this whole interview right there. That is the nugget here. That a parallel verse I thought of while you were saying that is 1 Corinthians 13. Paul talks about love. Love is not taking account of evil.
Yep.
And in my... The way I think of it is that you have to be like Teflon, and there's so many hurtful things that you do to each other, that people do to each other, members of the body of Christ do to each other. And if you took account of every insult, of every slight, then it would just, you build up a debt of resentment, and that's a horrible thing. Love doesn't do that.
No.
Love does not do that. And that goes right along with no longer considering one another according to flesh. But most people don't have any other option. They don't have the spiritual option.
But there is a real rub, and there's a real battle in that we know that because of Christ and all that He's done, every man is different than how he's perceived. But we still have those thoughts and those mis-thoughts coming into our head. We got to deal with them, and we deal with it through the Spirit and reiterating the truth to ourselves, you know. He doesn't regard any man after the flesh anymore. So
right, that's a major breakthrough. That's going to help so many people watching this.
Yeah.
Because the poison of relationship is resentment, and of harboring those ill feelings, harboring those slights, and just not being able to get over it. And I'm guilty of that too. But it's such freedom when you realize that, again, not dealing according to flesh, but according to Spirit. Paul says, even if we have known Christ according to flesh, we know Him so no longer. And it's hard for people to get out of that habit of just looking at themselves according to flesh. But by looking according to Spirit, you can overlook a lot of ugly things from other human beings. Not that you two ever do any ugly things to each other.
A whole lot less.
We have progress. We have progress, ladies and gentlemen. We have progress. Spiritual progress according to the growth of God, not according to our timetable. So, Chris and Maddie, thank you for this impromptu. I apologize for any movement, shaking of the camera. I'm holding this phone and the microphone at the same time. It's quite the challenge, but this is how it is in the body of Christ. Catch as, catch can. It's a loosey-goosey operation, but it's held together with the glue of the Holy Spirit. So, thank you, too. I'm definitely looking forward to you coming down to Florida. And we'll be hearing more of you, because, you know, I want part two.
Okay.
And part three. This
when
is a multifaceted story, because not only do you folks have spiritual help, but you can help people in their relationships. You have practical, marital help, because you have been through the ringer. You've been divorced and got back together. I've only known a very few couples who have actually done that. But to me, that shows a dedication. It's like, at least you know each other. I mean, you might not like everything about each other, but there's something comforting about at least, okay, I know this person. I know what I'm dealing with here, and it's so much harder. People think the grass is greener on the other side. It is not. Mm-hmm. I want to tell everybody out there, you think that divorce is going to solve your problems? It doesn't. It doesn't solve any problems. It just creates more problems. Am I right?
Correct.
I mean, it's worth trying to get back together no matter what. No matter what. Because you have a history and you know each other, and if the Spirit of God is in there, then it makes it even better. Okay, well, I'm going to sign off here today. We're both leaving this hotel at 11. You're driving to
Michigan.
Back to Michigan from here. Kalamazoo, I'm driving to Charlotte, where I'll catch a flight to Fort Lauderdale at 7:30, arrive home at 9:30. This has been Martin Zender from the Residence Inn in Richmond, Virginia. Thank you for joining me and this lovely couple here, and I'll be back here. I'll be back on MZTV from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula tomorrow. Grace and peace.